Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So on the order of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, I am sitting here today speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, actually Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, I am praying to all the assembled Vaishnavas to please give me your blessing so that I may say something worthy for everyone to hear. I'm very much dependent upon the mercy and blessings, especially of my superiors who are in my presence, and I am in the unfortunate position of having to speak in their presence. But certainly their blessings will help me as well. Last night, somebody asked a question about association. I gave a very condensed answer about what is association and what is not association. The question was with regarding what to do in a situation when one is forced into an association of unfavorable family or other circumstances certainly can be applied when one is forced into unfavorable association. I didn't think it was so relevant, but once the question was asked, then I realized, and it's probably something that may be relevant to not only this person who asked the question, but to many others as well. By nature, a human being is a social being, and especially those who are householders, they're forced to be in different situations whereby they have to associate with worldly-minded persons, sometimes even associate with those who are antagonistic towards the principles of bhakti. And especially when there is some kind of obligation, some social reason, or that's forced one to be into regular association with such persons, how to avoid being in the physical proximity of worldly-minded persons and not become contaminated. This is especially it's a concern for a sadhaka. I was told, I think, on the first day that all the persons who are attending here are chanting 16 rounds a day. So therefore, I am assuming that everyone here is sadhaka. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's instructions as well, they are specifically, and this subject are directed towards sadhakas, those who are actually engaged in the process of sadhana bhakti. In fact, one quote, just a short quote I will read from before I begin the text from Chaitanya Charitamrita in relationship to this point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this reference in his Sri Bhakti Loka, which I referred to last night. He says, if a practitioner or a sadhaka engages in prohibited association, then gradually his attachment increases. The more this attachment increases, the more his firm faith in the supreme goal diminishes. He gives warning. But this is the consequence of unwholesome association. And therefore, a sadhaka is somebody who's always careful. Prabhupada many times quoting the verse Upadeshamrita, how one has to abandon, give up the association of non-devotees. Prabhupada would also many times quote the verse Asat Sangha Tyaga, Evaishnava Acha, Stri Sangi Ek Asadu Krishna Bhakta Ar. Right? A devotee has to Asat Sangha Tyaga. He has to renounce the association of Asat. And he has to engage in Satsang. Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar. He has to give up the association of worldly minded persons, those who are attached to the opposite sex. He has to protect himself. Prabhupada speaks about that in the verse I was going to read today from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I was going to expand a little bit upon this verse and purport and read a little bit also from Bhakti Loka in this connection to help us understand what is association and what is not association. But really, a sadhaka has to be somebody who's discriminating. That's a process of sadhana. We have to be able to discriminate. Right? One of the principles of surrender is to accept everything favorable for devotional service. Another principle is to reject everything unfavorable. So we have to discriminate what is favorable, what is unfavorable. Sometimes it's difficult to discriminate. We don't know. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we think, I'm forced to be here and I don't want to be here, or I'm forced to be with this person, I don't want to be with this person, or I'm forced to deal with this person, I don't want to. But I'm doing it. Am I doing something which is contrary to the principles of bhakti by continuing this association? So there's unfavorable association. Of course, there is favorable association. We should know what is favorable. What is that association which strengthens our faith in the process of bhakti? Because faith goes through different levels. There are different stages of faith, and we always have to see that our faith is increasing. Just like the other day I gave the example that faith, the awakening of faith, is like the birth of a baby girl. Right? Right? Baby girl has to be protected. Young baby girl, if it's subjected to dangerous elements like hunger or thirst, or severe heat and cold, or to dangerous creatures, then obviously that baby girl is going to be endangered. So there's dangerous elements which are required that somebody has to protect that baby girl from. And there, of course, as we also said, that the baby girl also requires nourishment, strength to grow properly, to flourish and to grow into a healthy young woman. That nourishment also is given by the guardian or protector. And this analogy is given is that we are also require the association of those who are guard our devotional keeper, those who will help us, nourish us, increase, strengthen our faith. We have to discriminate what is good association. How do I actually take advantage of that good association? And how do I avoid unhealthy association, which, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur clearly explains in that brief quote that we just gave, he says that prohibited association. If a practitioner, a sadhak, engages in this prohibited association, then what happens is his attachment to the material world increases. Right? And certainly we should understand to that degree that our attachment to the material world increases, and what happens is we lose our faith in the goal. That's what he says. The more this attachment increases, the more his firm faith in the supreme goal, the ultimate goal, will diminish. He'll lose his faith. How can I go on? How can I continue to execute bhakti yoga? In fact, in another place in bhakti yoga, in bhakti loka, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he expands on the point about patience. He says a devotee requires patience. And he says, what is patience? He says patience means that in the execution of sadhana bhakti, he said, just like the fruit of the karmis, they want some goal. Karmis want some goal of their activities. They want some fruit, to enjoy some fruit. The jnanis, they also want some goal. They want liberation. And the bhaktas, they also want some goal. They want Krishna's pleasure. That is the goal of their bhakti. And he says that sometimes we see that those who engage in the process of sadhana bhakti, that they lose their faith in the goal. And after prolonged sadhana, they may give it up. And he says patience means that one has to have the conviction that I will go on serving Krishna and expect his mercy. And even if it takes 1 year, 10 years, 100 years, or in some future life, I will go on serving Krishna and not give it up. He says, this is patience. One has to be this patient. He said, but sometimes we see that those who engage in the process of sadhana bhakti, they lose this patience. The goal. They lose their sight on what is the goal. And if one is not careful, he loses his faith that he can possibly achieve that goal. His faith is a very, very important element or ingredient. One actually has to have faith that it's possible. It's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the adhikar, or the qualification for pure devotional service, is shraddha. Faith. Without that faith, one doesn't have the adhikar. He doesn't have the eligibility for pure devotional service. Faith must be there. So faith means that we have to know what is the goal. Srila Prabhupada, very clearly in establishing Krishna consciousness movement, he said right from the very beginning, what is the goal? He didn't hold anything back. The goal is pure love of God. He said, any system of religion which teaches his followers that the goal is to love God, that is a genuine system of religion. So he taught right from the very beginning, this is the goal. We are all coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, coming into the association of devotees. What do we want to achieve? As a result of our association, we want love for Krishna. So that is the goal. And therefore, once the goal is established, then we have to accept everything favorable for achieving that goal. And anything which is unfavorable, we have to be prepared to reject it. So what is favorable association? Unfavorable association. That's what we're going to speak about. So we're going to first quote one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Bhadya Lila, chapter 19. It's text 159. Tate male yatna kari. Excuse me, text 157. Tate male yatna kari kare avarana. Aparada hastira yaiche nahaya udgama. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. Purport. While the bhakti creeper is growing, the devotee must protect it by fencing it all around. The neophyte devotee must be protected by being surrounded by pure devotees. In this way, he will not give the maddened elephant a chance to uproot his bhakti creeper. When one associates with non-devotees, the maddened elephant is set loose. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Acha. The first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the company of non-devotees. A so-called mature devotee, however, commits a great offense by giving up the company of pure devotees. The human being is a social animal. And if one gives up the society of pure devotees, he must associate with non-devotees, asat sangha. By contacting non-devotees and engaging in non-devotional activities, a so-called mature devotee will fall victim to the mad elephant offense. Whatever growth has taken place is quickly uprooted by such an offense. One should therefore be very careful to defend the creeper by fencing it in. That is, by following the regulative principles and associating with pure devotees. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksha Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Garin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gunandina Taranam. So, this section, Lord Chaitanya is giving his instructions to Rupa Goswami, where he's describing the birth of Shraddha, how the seed of bhakti is planted within the heart. And then he also explains that the seed of bhakti, upon being planted, it has to be nourished. And the nourishment of, takes place by the process of hearing and, in the association of devotees. But then, it describes that one has to be very careful, and if once this creeper takes root, seed is planted, it begins to grow, he has to protect it. Protect that creeper so that it can grow into a healthy state. And he specifically is speaking about the offense, the mad elephant offense. We all know Hatimat is a mad elephant offense, is the offense committed towards a Vaishnava. And here Prabhupada is saying is that if one gives up the association, commits the offense that of giving up the association of devotees and associates with asat sangha, with non-devotees, he says a so-called mature devotee commits a great offense when he gives up these association. And he says the human being is a social animal. If he gives up the society of pure devotees, then what is he going to do? He's going to have to associate with somebody. What is that saying? No man is an island unto himself? Something like that. We, by nature, we have to associate. So if we don't associate and strengthen our faith, such as what we're doing here, certainly by this festival, is meant to help increase our faith in the power of the holy name, increase our faith in the process of devotional service, increase our faith in the goal, that the goal of this association of satsang is to develop our love for Krishna. And if one is not careful and he develops an attachment for non-devotees, or if he develops an attachment for associating with non-devotees, then as we explained, then what happens is this attachment will increase and our faith in the whole process of devotional service will decrease in proportion to our faith. We can advance properly in devotional service. If we lose faith, then as we said before, quoting the example that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, he says, if we lose faith and we give up the whole process, of give up sadhana, how can I go on? What is the goal? I'm performing sadhana, but what am I getting? What benefit am I deriving? And sometimes if we're not careful, if we don't have very healthy association with devotees, then if what happens is that that non-devotee association can begin to look attractive. Sometimes we even think that people, they look at non-devotees and they say, well, actually, he's happy. That's a good, they have a real nice relationship. They love each other. They're caring for each other. And if we don't have loving relationships with devotees, we have to, by nature, Prabhupada says, we're social beings. If we don't have loving relationships, if we don't know what love is between devotees, and if we don't get it, then we're going to start looking and saying, hey. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says association begins when there is some affection, when there's some attraction for that. I wanted to read something a little bit more before I go on with this explanation. As I said, I wanted to read a short passage from Sri Bhakti Loka, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur expands upon this point of what is association, what is not association. What is association and giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. doubts may be there. Because if just by coming close to a materialist or material object is considered associating with them, then there's no way to give up this association. As long as the material body is there, how can one give up the proximity of these things? How can a Grihastha Vaishnava give up his family members? One cannot give up the association of deceitful persons, even if they are renunciates. One will have to come across materialists in one's life, whether one is a Grihastha or a renunciate. Therefore, the limit for giving up the association of materialists is prescribed in Sri Upadeshamrita as follows. Nadati patigrinati guyam akyati pichchati bungte bhojayate chaiva sadvidham priti lakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. O sadhakas, he says, talking to sadhakas. O sadhakas, shradavan, right? Shradavanjan, those who possesses a faith, right? Speaking to those who have faith. O sadhakas, one must accept proximity with both bad and good people as one passes his life. This equally applies to householders and renunciates. Proximity must be there. Nevertheless, one should not engage in bad association. Giving in charity, accepting charity, revealing one's mind, hearing one's mind, I guess it means hearing another's mind. Accepting foods and giving foods, if done with love, these are called sangha or association. Giving some foodstuffs to a hungry person and accepting charity from a pious man is done out of duty, not out of love. Even if they are materialists, this type of engagement is not considered association. But if they are pure devotees, then such activities are performed out of love. When acts are performed out of love, then it is association. Therefore, giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items or wealth from them becomes satsanga. Giving charity to a materialist or accepting charity from one, if done out of love, becomes a satsanga. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty. One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. Generally, there is some love involved in confidential speaking. Therefore, it is association. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking to him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There is no association in ordinary talk. One should behave with ordinary people as one externally behaves with a stranger while buying something in the market. The same dealings with a pure devotee of the Lord should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, he should do it as a host, dutifully cares for his guest. There's no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love, and when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, feeding and accepting food with one's wife, children, servants, maidservants, strangers, and whoever else one meets, there will be no unholy association, only good association. There is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association in this way. I'll explain. Sometimes when devotees hear this, what do you mean we're not supposed to love? I thought Lord Chaitanya's movement is meant for distributing love to everybody. Now we're being told, no, withhold it. Don't love them. Is this Mahaprabhu's movement? Or is something, misconception slipping in here? What does it mean? What is Bhaktivinoda Thakur trying to tell us here in these statements? So, we have to really carefully analyze and understand what he is saying. He talks about what is loving exchange. Quoting the verse, Upadeshamita, Dadati Pratigunati, Guyam Akyati Pichchati. That giving food, accepting, or giving prasad, accepting prasad, giving gifts, accepting gifts, inquiring confidentially, revealing one's mind in confidence. These are exchanges of love between one devotee and another. When done between devotees, they're done with love. But what is the symptom of loving exchanges? We should understand what is this love, because actually Prabhupada in one lecture, it was a commentary, I think it was a commentary on Gaurapahun. He was saying in this world, everybody says, I have loved this, love for this, love for that. Yes, I love this, I love her. But everyone's talking about love, but what is this love? And then he crosses this, and he talk love for dog, love for sex. Prabhupada actually said that also. He said, but real love means love for Krishna. He said, but everyone is using this love, but we have to understand what is real love. Therefore, even in relationship with Krishna, we know that love for Krishna means anyabhilashita shunyam gyanaka manyanavitam. Srila Rupa Goswami gives this as the criteria of what is love, right? Anyabhilashita shunyam gyanaka manyanavitam Krishna, anukulyena Krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. When devotional service is rendered favorably, with exclusive aim of satisfying Krishna, freed from the desire of material profit or gain through the karma, fruitive activities or philosophical speculation, then that is considered to be love, pure bhakti. Right? Srila Rupa Goswami gives us what is the most important criteria is Krishna Anushilanam. That means, love means that you simply want to please the object of your service, your beloved. Your exclusive aim is to simply satisfy them by service. And what is the secondary characteristic? There is the Svarup Lakshana, right? Which is Krishna Anushilanam, serving Krishna favorably. Right? And the secondary characteristic is Anya Balashita Shunyam. That means, I don't want anything in return. There's no motive, there's no agenda that is there. I'm giving something to you without any expectation of something in return. That is considered the secondary characteristic. But actually, even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that to giving charity without expectation of something in return is activities in the mode of goodness. Right? Even mode of goodness means not accepting. So it's not certainly not the exclusive criteria of love to not accept, to expect something in return. It is tatashta lakshana. It is the secondary characteristic. It's an important characteristic. Otherwise, why would Rupa Goswami give it in his explanation of what is pure devotion, what is pure love? Obviously, it's very important. But it's not the most important. It's secondary. Most important is love means you want to please. You want to, by serving this person, by pleasing this person, I'm pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, why do I want to serve this person if I'm not pleasing Krishna? Just like, what is that example in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the story of Sakshi Gopal about the two brahmanas. Right? One brahman was saying, the younger brahman was serving the elder brahman. He says, I serve you because by serving you, I know that Krishna is satisfied. And when Krishna is satisfied, then my devotional is nourished. So the younger Brahman was serving, and he certainly wasn't serving expecting something in return. He wasn't thinking, I'm serving this Brahman because I know he has a very beautiful daughter. He wasn't thinking like that. He says, I'm serving you because by serving you, I'm pleasing Krishna. Therefore I want to serve. I want to please you. So he underwent all kinds of personal inconvenience simply to satisfy this Brahman. Now, of course, this Brahman, the elder Brahman, he was grateful for that service. And he said, I want to give something in return. But we should understand that in the nature of loving exchanges, that real loving exchange means that when something is offered out of love, then the person accepts it. That is the completion of that reciprocal exchange. It's not that the person is bound to give something back. It's not that he thinks, oh, I have to give him something. No, he's offered me out of love. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if one offers me a leaf, a flower, fruit and water with love and devotion, I accept it. Why? Because if it's offered out of love, then the perfection, that the person who's making the offering is, I want the person to accept it and be pleased with it. What is that verse in Chaitanya? It's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Krishna Chaitanyam Bhakta Nugraha Kataram. Right? I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always eager to accept anything offered with faith and love from his devotees. He's always eager to accept it. Anything that's offered with love, he wants to take it. And he's always ready to bestow his mercy upon them. So Lord Chaitanya, he's always eager to accept. Even in the example of the Brahmachari. What is Brahmachari's name? Shuklambara Brahmachari. Right? He was very eager to accept the broken grains of rice from him. So eager to accept it, he didn't even wait for Shuklambara to offer it. He wanted it from his hands. So eager to have something from his devotee. He wants to take something from, and the devotee, for the devotee, that is perfection. Krishna is accepted. That's what, as we said, after prolonged sadhana, what is the fruit the devotee wants from his sadhana? The fruit is that Krishna will accept. He's pleased. He's accepted it. He won't accept from his non-devotees. He's not inclined. He's very inclined to accept from the hands of his devotees. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse, the Supreme Lord is very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions, but who are fully satisfied in possessing only devotional service to Krishna. And indeed, the Supreme Lord relishes the activities of such devotees. Those who are proud of their prosperity, proud of their position, proud of their heritage, family, generally they are puffed up by possessing such things, and they will often deride devotees of the Lord. Even if such persons offer the Lord worship, the Lord will never accept. He won't accept. He's not inclined to accept. He's inclined to accept that which is given from his devotees. Very eager to accept. And for the devotee who has no other desire than to give something to the Lord, then this is loving exchange. This is pure love. The devotee is giving and Krishna is accepting. So even in the relationship between the Supreme Lord, we see that this is the characteristic of loving exchanges. The Lord is very much inclined to accept something when it's offered with love, with the exclusive desire to please the Lord. The Lord will accept even a small, what may appear to be an insignificant offering. It is not the quantity that by which one can satisfy the Supreme Lord. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur says, he gives the example in the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. He says that the materialists, the millionaires, they cannot understand. They have so much wealth. How is it that Lord Chaitanya was so much eager just simply to accept these banana leaf cups and plates from Sridhar? from him. For them, it is very difficult for them to understand, because even though one may have so much wealth, he cannot get the Lord to accept simply by his wealth. He wants to see the love. That's what the Lord is inclined to see. As Prahlad Maharaj explains in the Bhagavatam, when he's speaking to his friends, "My dear friends, O sons of demons, you can't please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you become an expert Brahmin, advanced in etiquette or vast learning, nor by austerities, nor by chastity, nor by sacrifices, nor by accepting vows, none of these things are qualifications for getting the Lord's pleasure. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching devotion to him. Without sincere devotion, everything else is simply a show." Prahlad Maharaj is telling this to his 5-year-old classmates, explaining to them. He's giving them sangha, right? Such highly elevated Vaishnavas, they give sangha. They're very kind, they're very compassionate, right? They're the uttama bhaktas, right? They can freely give love to anyone, even to the hardcore demons. We'll speak about that. But we won't get sidetracked right now. But Prahlad Maharaj was saying, "My friends, sons of demons, you can't please the Lord by, even if you become expert in all of these things. The Lord takes notice when there's love. That's what he sees. So it's not some big show that attracts the attention of the Lord. It's the intention, the attitude. Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi, right? A person may offer some prayer to the Lord, "O Vishnaya Namaha," another one may own "Vishnave Namaha," a fool. And the Brahmin, they may offer their prayers. But the Lord, he's Bhavagrahi Janardana. He simply accepts the attitude. Right? He understands what is the attitude in the offering. And therefore, both will be accepted if the attitude is to please the Lord. So it's not externally. That's not the criteria of being able to capture the Lord's attention and to please him, is the external fanfare or whatever we may try to do to capture the Lord's attention. We may become very powerful, we may become very wealthy, these things, Krishna doesn't look at them. He's not saying, why would Krishna be interested in power or wealth or fame when he is Bhagavan? Possessor of all these opulences are full. How could they possibly attract his attention? But Krishna's Bhavagrahi, which means what he's looking, is that there's some love. That Krishna feels bound to. He can't turn away. He can't turn away from love. That's how powerful love is. Right? His attention will always be focused on anybody who offers him something with love. And certainly, he'll reciprocate fully with that offering. He knows how to do it much better. He's the greatest lover. He knows how to reciprocate dealings of love better than anyone else. Even the gopis, they ask Krishna, "Please tell us, what kind of lover are you?" And dealings and loving dealings between one lover and another, we've understood there are three types. One, he simply accepts. Another one is that he'll reciprocate, or he'll give, even if the person acts contrary, in a contrary way. And the third, he neither acts contrarily, neither does he reciprocate favorably or return favorably. Which do you prefer? Which do you consider honest? And Krishna said that in loving dealings, he said the first type, the person who simply gives in proportion to what he gets. He says he's a merchant. There's no love. Right? Somebody gives something to him, he thinks, well, I'll give something back. Why will I give something back? So he'll give something back to me again. He's a merchant, that is all. He said, this is not the highest type of lover. This is not loving exchanges. Right? And he says the second, he gives the example that it is like a parent Like, a parent will love the child even if the child acts in a contrary way. Right? Sometimes the child are very, well, they're just ungrateful. They may act in a contrary way, but the parent, just like Prabhupada says, the closest thing to love in the material world is the love the mother has for the child. Right? Even though the child may act in a completely contrary way, mother, she won't. She's always ready to accept. Always ready to do whatever she can. Closest thing to real love. Of course, may not always be there, but it's close. I saw that. I experienced that with my mother. When I became a devotee boy, I could just still she accepted me when I realized after non-communication for so many years. Of course she accepted me back. So that the example is given that the second class is that even if a person acts in a contrary way still, and then he says, still one will reciprocate favorably. One will serve.